All right, Cole, what's up this week?
Well, before we do that, can I tell you about a dream I had last night?
Yeah.
There was an old...
I love hearing about dreams. There was like everybody does.
There was an old man with water for eyes and bugs for teeth. And he said, "You will awake to three knocks on the door." And sure enough, he was right. I heard three knocks at the door and I got up and I opened the door, but there was nobody there. But I looked down into my hand and there was an egg there.
Okay.
And we're going to open this egg now. We're going to see what's inside of it.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
Can't open an egg without opening a few eggs.
All right, there's a, whoa, a slip of paper. It's gold leaf. Wow, crazy.
Fortune egg.
Let me read this here. Mike Tyson's intergalactic power punch.
Rock!
That wasn't even a word.
Yeah.
Are those getting too intricate, or should I?
No. Like, it'd be great. I mean, eventually we can just make them more and more intricate, where it's like 20 minutes of like this short story. And then in the end, it's like, we didn't fucking play Wizardry. And then... my name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you are listening to Abject Suffering, the bonus podcast where we play the awful games that you make us play.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yep. And this week is Mike Tyson's Intergalactic Power Punch, a game so shitty that it didn't come out.
Yeah. This is I found this out when I was actually searching for this. You know, I hit my usual spots and it's like, huh, that doesn't seem to exist.
When you say your usual spots, you mean like you were just blog checking on Tyson? Like you just found out about this when you were just Tyson surfing?
I opened up my folder and reader that just is, you know, just it's an all-inclusive search for Tyson. And it came up wanting, Gary.
Chicken, 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 boxer, chicken, boxer, chicken, boxer, boxer, chicken, boxer.
Okay, rape, now
rape, chicken
now.
Tattoo, boxer, chicken, boxer, rape, chicken, boxer. ear, boxer.
I was about to say I would love to have a game about chicken boxing, but that's just cockfighting, Gary.
Michael Vick's chicken boxer. I'm expanding.
Dog boxing. Oh, man.
No. Not so bad then. They have little caps.
put little trunks on them.
Yeah, those little doggy diapers. This was suggested by Travis Newman.
Thank you, Travis.
Go fuck yourself,
sorry, fuck
Travis.
You, Travis. There we go.
Fuck yourself.
So it didn't come out. There's an interesting story. Like, you know, a guy, you know, he found a card of this, and he was like, "Yeah, I'd rip this to a ROM, but I won't get any money for that. So if you guys can pay me $1,500, I'll distribute it."
That happens a lot. Like if you go to lostlevels.org. That website that Frank Cifaldi is on a lot.
Yeah.
He's a game journalist I like a lot, and he does a lot of good work. He talks about these people, and they put together the money, man. Like, he gets, you know, some venture capitalists who think that BioForce Ape is worth, like, their $400.
Yeah.
And then they release it to everyone, though, which I really appreciate.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, all told, you know, across the many people who would be interested in playing Mike Tyson's Intergalactic Power Punch, that's not a whole lot of money in general. So I don't know. I was about ready to be like, fuck that dude for wanting money. But I want money. Everybody wants money.
Yeah.
He had a thing and he wanted to sell it. People wanted to buy it. So it's perfectly legitimate. Here we go. But the genesis of this game, it's for NES, not for Genesis, mm-hmm. Was that Nintendo wanted a sequel to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but they didn't want to develop it in-house. So they went to Beam Software, and they're like, hey,
Bastions
do this.
Of Quality.
Exactly. They made, what was it? They made a game for True Lies or something like that?
We did something with Beam Software, right?
No, it was like Laser Beam Software. That we did before. It was one of the first two games we did.
Okay. I did it. Well, Back to the Future I did for the YouTube channel.
Yeah. So. The just, you know, movie license stuff. But it was so bad that it didn't come out. And then because of Tyson's, you know, mounting legal problems, you know, spousal abuse and rape,
Like he raped Miss Black America. There's no, I mean, there's somebody who is a hero. Like, you play as a protagonist of this, and I don't, you know, I don't make light of rape. Like,
no,
but
no.
It's kind of weird that you're playing a video game with, like, noted rapist Michael Tyson.
Yeah.
As the protagonist.
Like, I felt weird about bringing it up because rape is no laughing matter. However, you can't get around the fact that, like, he's still lionized by the majority of the culture, and here we are having a video game about him.
Is this the only game where you play a rapist? Like, other than Custer's Last Stand? Like, is this the only, like, game where, like, you play set, like, a real life?
Like a real life. I don't know. I haven't done the research. I'm not up on notable rapists of history. To make that claim. Let us say that this is unique.
It seems unique that this. I mean, I understand it never came out. So saying that it's weird that it came out is one thing. But it makes it in retrospect like a real historical curiosity. Like, knowing everything you know about Mike Tyson. And can we just go on the record as saying all professional athletes are monsters?
Yes, we can.
and just get it out there. Like, when you unduly reward somebody for, like, those kind of acts, like, I think that just leads to a certain, you know, there's, like, the two different, like, you want to become an athlete. There's, like, the Olympic path, which has all this honor and tradition and everything. And then the pro sports, which is all about breakdancing robots and, like, endorsement deals and, like, football androids and stuff and country music.
Uh-huh.
And it just turns you into a bad person.
Yeah. And I would blame the owners and the culture and just how commercialized it is, you know, things like that. In its purest sense, you want to say, like, hey, feats of physical excellence, that should be acknowledged. I couldn't do that. Just like, right. I would acknowledge, you know, okay, intellectual pursuits. I'm going to say this as a nerd. They probably have a greater positive impact on society. But physical pursuits, you know, just that's. Yeah, I don't know. But the whole gladiatorial culture that, like, kind of, like, surrounds even non-contact sports is really kind of just gross.
Yeah, I don't get it. And I'm really turned off by the ego of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's really big turn off for me.
I was having a conversation with somebody at work. The guy that I sit next to, he's a sports fan, you know. He's from Detroit, so he likes the Lions and other Detroit teams, and also, you know,
and misery,
RoboCop
and unemployment
RoboCop, yeah. Yes, he's a big fan of RoboCop. But we were talking about this because the Mr. Blade Legs from South Africa shot his supermodel wife. We were just, like, saying, you know, just like, well, you look all the way back to, like, Babe Ruth. He was an alcoholic womanizer.
Yeah. Know? Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
We sharpen his cleats so he can, you know, like, like, is essentially what the Joker used in Batman to, like, kick Batman with his knife shoes.
Yeah.
In one of the weirdest, like, scenes, if you think back to the Joker, like, sitting around making custom knife shoes.
Yeah.
That's essentially what Ty Cobb did all the time.
But you look at, like, this kind of culture that's kind of, like, surrounded up, and it's kind of like, oh, why didn't we make a bigger deal about it? It's kind of like, oh, Babe Ruth wasn't demonized for his womanizing, just like JFK wasn't, right? Because the media wasn't around to look at it. But now you have every major athlete being endorsed by somebody or something, and these market forces, like any kind of scandal that comes out. This isn't funny. This is me making social commentary, so I'm going to back away from it as much as possible.
This is a very serious episode of Abject Suffering.
Well, but, like, okay, so if we want to talk about something that causes suffering in this world, sports. I
mean,
if you've paid money to listen to a video games podcast, you're in the same boat as us. So you're expressing the same bewilderment.
The thing, the difference, though, is that, like, you know, we didn't demonize Babe Ruth for cheating around with JFK because kind of cheating around is not that big a deal.
With,
like,
JFK?
We're talking about, like,
you're cheating around with JFK?
Oh, yeah. History comes alive.
It sounds like something Dale Gribble would hypothesize. Shit.
but, like, you know, womanizing is not the same thing as woman hitting.
Yeah.
You know, brutalizing. Like, that is way more morally reprehensible.
That was the punchline I was working to before I backed off of it and lost the plot. Of course, in that instance, I was criticizing a man shooting his girlfriend four times in the same breath as I was criticizing Babe Ruth.
Yeah, JFK getting a little bit
strange.
On the side. With Marilyn Mon fucking Roe.
Yeah.
You know,
they're basically our Olympic gods, you know?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So, noted rapist Mike Tyson fighting space aliens. Can I summarize the plot for the fine people?
Yeah.
All right. So a group of criminal aliens called the Nerdlucks, led by their boss, Mr. Swackhammer, voiced by Danny DeVito, plot to capture the Looney Tunes characters and make them their newest attractions in order to save their failing amusement park called Moron Mountain from foreclosure and bring in more customers. Seeing how short the aliens are, the Looney Tunes bargain for the freedom. So I'm sorry. Wait a minute. My Google search was wrong.
It's like a darker Space Jam. It's dark Space Jam. Once you shoot Guinevere in Space Jam, it turns into Mike Tyson's intergalactic power punch.
Exactly. The curtain is lifted and shit gets real. I don't know. I wanted to work up to where Bill Murray was introduced, but but anyway.
So this is a real bad game.
Yeah.
I got to the second boxer.
Me too.
Okay. The first one took me a long time because there is no – so, I mean, not a profound observation, but Mike Tyson is not a sports game, like – or Punch-Out. It's not a sports game. It's right. A rhythm game. Mm-hmm. It's essentially just a counterattack, you know, the game, like the joy in timing your shots. And this has a little bit of that, but it's inscrutable. Like there's no – you can't counterattack because a lot of times you just – with their hitbox, and they can counterattack you instantly, and you can't block or dodge.
Yep,
like it's infuriating. It's fucking impossible.
I agree, and that was going to be one of my main complaints. Say what you will about how difficult Punch-Out is, they telegraph their stuff a lot, and it's a very scrutable, to use the inverse of your word. It's a very scrutable pattern that most everybody follows. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the two enemies that I fought, the Borg, who loves to turn tricks, apparently.
Yeah, I saw that too. He can't help turning some tricks in the middle of the ring.
He's compelled. He knows no other life, Gary.
Is there just like a tiny, like, I'm just trying to think of how he can be turning a trick, like, while boxing. That's some Lynchian nightmare shit right there. Like, I'm just imagining like somebody boxing and like they start like they're sweating and they're making all these noises, and then the camera just pans down and there's just somebody just slobbing pull like
Why would somebody pay to slob his pull? He would have to be slobbing somebody else's pull.
Oh, I guess that's true.
For it to be turning a trick.
Some pole is slobbing him, I guess.
I was going to hypothesize some kind of tiny alien race that could backpack-like affix themselves to the – or fanny pack-like affix themselves to the front of him and just be going like that. But I was like, it would make no sense. I wouldn't pay money to, to perform oral on somebody. You know, it's just not a thing that peoples would do, you know?
It's a thing that peoples do.
I'm sure. There's nothing new under the sun.
It's a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, if Dan Savage has taught me anything, it's definitely a big thing. But
yeah. So I'm just revealing how narrow-minded I am. But, I'm sure.
Yeah. Huh. But, who knows what turning tricks means to Borg?
Well, okay. Well, he can't help it, but he resists it as much as possible. I mean, he lived the life and, he had to get out and get into the professional boxing game after he felt those silk sheets form a noose around his neck. So, yeah.
He's real ugly.
Yeah.
So that could be why that's, again, a reason for him to buy prostitution. Maybe it's just a typo. Maybe he's supposed to be purchasing tricks.
Oh, he's a John.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing.
Huh.
Because it definitely seems like it. Like, he's got three eyes that are in no way symmetrical. And, this is a very ugly cyborg. And cyborgs are among the easiest things to draw. He also has a very plasticky human torso.
Well, he
that looks really out of place.
This is the weird thing. He is human. Well, mostly human. Too human, if you ask Dyack. But so there's a backstory to this guy where he left Earth of his own volition. He knew about the alien plot, and he was like, okay, let's do this. In order to fit in, he augmented himself until he had to, prostitution was his only way. But like, yuck, a human? He's like, okay, I'll be a cyborg now. So he's a sex bot for money.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he did it wrong. He went to the equivalent of Guatemalan plastic surgeons.
Yeah, they just they They punked him.
Yeah.
Ashram Ketchum's pranked all over him.
Say Ash Ketchum's pranked?
I said Ashram Ketchum.
Okay.
It is a joke from another thing.
It is.
I shouldn't make those.
Okay.
That is dumb on my original podcast to reference things.
But his weak spot is he decides to go all exorcist on you.
Yeah, but and then a boxing glove just kind of floats in. It's almost like you can see the fishing pole and fishing line, like an Ed Wood style boxing glove, just kind of from off camera. And then I never know whether I was collecting that, what it did. Like,
no.
I knew it had to be good because boxing. Boxing good and boxing game. But I didn't know what actually mechanically how it worked.
I only ever saw it when I nailed him while he was head spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that it was giving a thumbs up. So I always figured that it was the game visibly giving me feedback for hitting the weak spot.
Oh, that could be it. Like,
yeah.
It, but in the weirdest way, like from off camera. Like, you could do that with a sound or
well, you have your judges like cheering you from the top, including
can we talk about who those judges are for a second? So the one on the left, I'm pretty sure, is Rob Reiner.
I don't have a screen grab up. I
feel like we need to grab one though, because there's Rob Reiner. Don King is in there.
He is.
Jordy is on the right.
Jordy is on the right. That I made that observation.
Reading Rainbow's LeVar Burton.
and the second one in is a sure, lady.
It's a lady. I'm gonna pull it up though because I had people for it. But the one on the left is really Rob Reinery.
is this Rob Reiner circa this time? It might be Rob Reiner circa now, but this was a couple of years after, after the success.
Oh, like Parenthood.
After the success of This Is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, that's true.
And he wasn't he wasn't quite the monster that he is today. Then
this is definitely current Rob Reiner. Oh, Miss Yvonne from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Oh yeah, I can see.
I'm looking at them right now. Rob Reiner, Miss Yvonne. Don King, Jordy LaForge.
Yeah.
The triumvirate. These should be my counsel.
The quadrumvirate.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's got the craziest mohawk, too, Mr. Borg does.
Yeah. He's an asshole, and it's a terrible fight, and it's terrible that it's the first one, because you want, like, a Glass Joe experience.
Yeah.
And he's really, really hard.
I'm happy to hear that you had a hard time with him, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me several tries. I recorded it for the YouTube, so like it'll go up.
Yeah.
I eventually figured it out. It's almost like you can just kind of time it and you just find a rhythm,
mm-hmm.
like just a punch, and you'll always hit them. So you just kind of like, and you just keep with that rhythm and you almost always hit him.
Yeah. My big thing was to, he leaves himself open for body shots, so you can get mm-hmm. a 1-2 combo in most times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does so much more damage to you than you do to him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a terrible, terrible thing. And then, how much help was the training for you?
Well, I was impressed that there was a whole ship dedicated to training.
The training ship. It's like a fucking Alice Munro novel. Like, friendship, hate ship, love ship, courtship, training ship, marriage.
Jeez. That is, yeah, so it is a whole ship full of headache bags and free weights and lifting machines and some dude. Let me go to this because I have a YouTube open as we look. He's purple. He's got shades and he's got the pads on.
Mm-hmm.
I have an affinity for training sequences in sports games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Okay. No, just one of the first games that I really got into was either Madden 93 or Madden 94 that were like of that stripe. Like, my brother had it. He was a bit of a, he's a bit of a jock.
Sure. That's
and
Chris.
Yeah. And he had that, and I was playing it. I was kind of like, huh, this football part's boring, but it has like QB training. So it essentially has like the Olympic game for the NES like built into it. So like these little things, and you make your character better by doing it, before you go and roll.
You have stats, which I like the idea of there being like it's not actually practice because you could actually just have your you practice
mm-hmm.
the game, but it improves your stats. And I like the intersection of RPGs and sports.
Yes.
As perfected in like the GBA Mario Tennis and Mario Golf.
I was happy you said that because those are excellent games that I love very much.
Yeah, those are fantastic.
In a more salient point, there was an SNES game, Riddick Bowe's Boxing. That was really good, actually. The actual boxing part was fun. Really huge sprites. It looked good, at least in my memory. And it had a whole like training sequence where you could do all these things. And again, you were building up your stats. And you know, I was very young, and I really liked playing that, especially with my dad. You know, so that is kind of like tied up in those memories. So like when I saw this training sequence, it was like, oh, cool. And then it ended up being like, oh man, this is a whole minute of this, and it feels like 7 hours.
if you choose skip training, you have to listen to the timer run out.
Ugh.
And it's excruciating and loud. Like, it's really, really loud.
You don't want to play this part of our game? Well, then fuck you.
It's awful. Can we also talk about a little bit about the like seventh stage Endermith Bride that introduces the match?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the round counter.
I was a little bit more generous. She looks like a Futurama character. She's a slug lady in a bikini who happened to have been the bastard progeny of the Michelin Man.
Yeah, she's disgusting. I thought she was disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
That's one of the more charming things about the game, though.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of fun. I did say, like, part of the reason why I wanted to get to the second guy is because I wanted to see what they were going to, like, whip out. You know, like, I like aliens. You know, like, I'll look at, you know, 10 different aliens. I'll look at 20 different aliens. Fuck it. I'll do as many as you want. Just try to stop me. But the, like, I like the idea of, like, what I wanted this to be was, like, you know, racing is to boxing as Mario Kart is to this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wanted it to be, like, a super fun, goofy version. And then I realized, like, that's actually what Mike Tyson's Punch-Out already is. You know, because you're fighting Soda Popinski and fucking King Hippo and all these weird things. This is just trash.
Yeah.
This is one of the worst games. You know, it actually came out in a form because it was Power Punch 2.
I saw that, but it was like the later versions of Punch-Out where they turned Mike Tyson into Mr. Dream.
Yeah. So this actually got released as, you know, with just a facelift. But somebody thought the gameplay was good enough to release this, which is crazy.
Just a little bit.
Huh. Crazy. One of the things when you die, and you will die, there's a little kid, a little newsy, who has this undulating mouth that is super disgusting. Like, really disgusting, you know, Tyler-esque, like, maw. And he's holding up a newspaper, and the headline is like, Alien invaders defeat Mike Tyson, which I was just like, boy, that's the news. Like, do the people on Earth know about the alien invaders? Like, can you imagine skipping a news cycle and just getting to that point? Like, we've already skipped the holy shit aliens and like war of the aliens phase, and we've already moved down the cultural ladder enough to sports to the aliens, and the news is that we've lost to them. Like,
All that I can think of is, like, this is some kind of, like, Gaiden version of Rocky 4 and 5. Where the aliens are stand-ins for the Russians, kind of like an Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the Donald Sutherland version.
Yeah. Yeah, I would accept that as a thesis.
Yeah.
For this game.
But, like, that's ascribing much more thought to it than what we are. Is Chris, God, I called you Chris. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Is it East versus West or man against man?
All right.
Can any world stand alone? Okay. No, but God. Yeah, you're right. I would say that newsie is burying the lead, but it's right there in the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real dumb. And so, getting past this first guy was really hard, and then getting the second guy, and how do you, like, I was like, okay, they tell you a little hint, and they're like, this guy, what is the second guy's name?
I have it written down in my notebook here. It's a tradition on the show that I don't transcribe my notes, so I have to discern my handwriting. Nottam Winker.
Yeah, Nottam Winker. Good name. He sounds like a Peter Pan villain.
Yeah.
And then, but they say it's like he doesn't punch much, but he really packs a punch. So I was like, okay, he's gonna telegraph his attacks, and I just need to make sure I avoid it. Like, he's gonna be heavy hitting but slow. I can handle that. But he is neither. I mean, he is not slow. He's really, really fast. He does not telegraph his attacks.
Nope.
Like, I was kind of like shifting back and forth, left and right, and it was working okay. But I would punch him once every once in a while, and I would hit him, or he would block, and he would immediately do a counterattack that was unavoidable.
Yeah.
And if you block, it still takes like 90% of the stamina it would take if you didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, it's blocking is so useless.
It is. It definitely is, unlike in Punch-Out, really.
Yeah, but,
The way that I described this fight, it's like if Worf bred with a Tonberry. Because he looks like Worf, and he spends a good deal of the fight until you do enough damage to him, moving slowly closer to you. Mm-hmm. And when they say you've got to push him to the limit, what it means is you have to like draw him out to get close enough to you, so like to where you can land a punch. The problem is when he gets close enough to you, his range outstrips yours, so you have to constantly be moving left and right.
What is he even doing when he punches you?
I don't know. It's a very indiscernible.
Like it's kind of a crouch. He falls down, which I like.
Yes.
Because most people do not fall down.
Yeah.
And you punch them, like they just kind of stand there. And same thing with yourself. It's really, really strange.
Can we talk about scale, Gary?
Yes, let's talk about issues of scale.
Yes. So in Punch-Out, Little Mac, he was so called because he was small in relation to those characters. However, Mario was the same height as him. Okay?
Yes.
So we are to assume that all of the fighters in Punch-Out, including Mike Tyson / Mr. Dream himself, are 2 to 3 times bigger than an average human. Okay?
Yes, that's part of the fun surrealness of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out,
because
you were fighting giants.
But they take that thesis, that setup, and they take it into the intergalactic scale, and most of these fighters are bigger than Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Than Mike Tyson himself, rather.
I didn't get that so much. I thought because maybe the camera was pushed in a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Like the scale made it seem more like these guys were about like they're a little bit taller than Tyson. Like Tyson's 6 foot tall and these guys are like 8 feet tall.
Yeah. It's not as drastic as in Punch-Out. It's mm-hmm. not as drastic, but they're still bigger than him.
Yeah, they're still bigger. But this is the way it makes sense because like aliens can be bigger than me. Mm-hmm. Russians aren't. You know, other ethnicities.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my all-time favorite things about Punch-Out is the kind of queasy racial elements to it, I think are really pretty funny. Again, just, you know, they were okay with that. And then once he became a rapist, it went too far. But the, you know, the fact that, you know, I'll give you a TKO from Tokyo, like it's so bad. But I mean, part of the reason why it's so racist is because, you know what? People from Russia are not bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. I'm bigger than every single Russian. But aliens, they can be whatever size.
Because of their nutrition.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, what about Zangief? Are you bigger than Zangief, Gary?
I'm bigger than SNES Street Fighter 2 game Zangief.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can we? So, and then we both died against that guy.
Yeah.
And that's as far as we got.
I wasn't even able to get a judges decision on him.
Yeah, me either.
I didn't even technically KO the first dude. Like Borg, like I won him on a technicality.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad way to start a game.
Yeah.
You know? Borg should have been the M boss.
Yeah.
Like in Star Trek.
Exactly. But that was so weird because after that first round, like when it like ranked your performance, it was like, oh, I'm throwing way more punches than I'm landing. So that entirely changed the spirit of the game, the color of the realm, and it made me more like conservative with the way that I boxed, because I knew that if they were judging this, that would be one of the only potential ways that I would win.
Right, right. If it gets down to that, so you can kind of throw it all in and try to get a knockout, which is unlikely.
Yeah.
Or you could do this.
Right. But you have less of a chance. They block you so efficiently that you have less of a chance of doing that.
Right, right. It's very, you know, very, very difficult to block.
Yeah.
I want to talk just for a moment about the game fact that I use for this.
Is there a fact for this?
In a big bad way. profile user Daniel TKO. I really want to know more about this guy. I was reading this last night. So he's done two facts for games.
Okay.
This game and Friday the 13th. So what are you doing
with your
what
life?
What are you doing? Play some better games. His fact that he wrote for this game is kind of like awesome, like not legitimately awesome. I'm making fun of him.
Okay.
Because he seems like an idiot. But so This fact is the very first fact I've ever written, and hopefully not the last. It covers the supposed sequel to the classic game that is Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. He's talking about, he's very defensive about Intergalactic Power Punch during this. I've decided to help people in the game, and perhaps most of you will see Power Punch 2 in a different light. It is a fun game, but not as addictive as Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, of course.
Not as addictive because you don't want to keep playing it because it's not fun?
The fun and addiction are one and the same. The thing I want to point out is after this little intro paragraph, there's an asterisk and says, I would like to dedicate this fact to my great aunt Helene. I know she is now in heaven. No one will ever forget the joy you brought to people. You will never be forgotten. I will always love you. Can you?
That is so sad.
This is a sad, like, this kid writing like tons of words. Like, this is a huge fact.
Yeah.
On Power Punch 2, and then dedicating it to his dead aunt. What's going on? Like, that's so weird.
How's your life?
He has an email address up on his user profile. Like, I kind of want to email him.
I kind of want to help him.
Yeah. How is your aunt?
Well, she's dead.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. How is your, I assume his mom and her sisters. I don't know. You're right. She is dead. But how is your, you know, how is your life?
Yeah, she's wicked dead as fuck. And he, oh, man. This is a 24-page fact. I just did a print preview. Oh,
can you
shit.
Think of a less fitting tribute to a dead person than an FAQ for Mike Tyson's Intergalactic Power Punch?
I might haunt his ass.
Yeah, well, like, if I die, Cole, I need you to write a fact for Mickey Mouse Capades and dedicate it to me. All right?
Okay. All right. Mickey Mouse Capades. Is that the one for Genesis that was like really good?
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
Yep. That's how I'm going to haunt you.
Just lay out some odious task. You need to stay in this haunted house for a night before you can
inherit
it.
And write this fact.
Yes.
There's a typewriter.
Holy shit. Wow, he is exhaustive.
Yeah, it's really insane. It's like kind of the fact takes place in real time. Like, it's kind of like he's just kind of describing what he did.
Wow.
Moment to moment. It's really weird.
The final conflict is with Flymo.
Yeah, Flymo. there's also Alpha Bonehead, Helmet Skull, Lex Lump Blocker, Grath Nox 4, I like him. Eric Noden, so you fight the younger brother, or the guy you fought before, because eventually he has a brother. And then you're in the final league with Pugly Positronic, which is pretty cool. And his first, like, this opponent has no legs! Superborg DLX, Gathrox 4B, these are all, like, repaints, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Pound Tops. Hammerhand, Lex Lump Blocker again, and then Flymo.
I was looking for videos of this, and I couldn't find any that got that far.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty difficult.
It's pretty dismal.
Oh, hey, check this out. He's got, number 10, Behind the Ring. Ever wonder who the four mysterious characters watching every Tyler fight are? At first, they appear to be judges, but upon further inspection, they have more meaning to the hero of this game. When Mike Tyson's Intergalactic Power Punch was being promoted, a screenshot was shown of the game in Electronic Gaming Monthly. It was clear when observing the image that Don King was the third character in the audience with his infamous lightning-bolted hair. In Power Punch 2, he is still seated in third place. However, his hair has been cut off. This leads me to believe that the other characters have some connection to Tyson/Tyler. The fourth character on the right is Mark Tyler's droid training partner, who I like to call Mr. Roboto. Dewey, why do you like to call him anything? The very first character does not seem to be alive and is quite pale.
Just like Rob Reiner.
Yeah, this is Jacob's Ladder shit. Why do you say he's dead? He has to be Father Cus Diamato. I don't know who that is. This leaves the woman. Which woman was involved with Mike Tyson during his greatest boxing year? Robin Givens. She was there with her diamonds and pearls watching her husband fight, never having the misfortune of seeing him lose. In this game, however, the programmers took delight in making her cry out a river whenever Tyler was knocked down or loses.
Oh, man.
I'm very proud to be the first person to write a fact for this game. I hope it serves its purpose and helps all those in need. Power Punch 2 is a game that was successful in winning me over. The fact that it is also the sequel to my favorite game of all time does not hurt its chances either. Sure, it's a hard game, but when a gamer becomes talented at a certain game, he or she begins to like it. the road to glory was tough, Flybo, but now none of you will ever have to go through the stress I did. All the answers to your most desired questions are hopefully all here in this FAQ. If not, contact me and say, oh God, I have to email him with some questions about this game. Contact me and state what I could add to my FAQ. My opinions, any opinions are much appreciated. Send me an email at dancartex@hotmail.com.
Glory to God in the highest. I miss you, Aunt B.
Yeah, I know. This is dedicated. I have to look at that other, like, I wonder if the Friday the 13th one is dedicated to anybody.
Oh, do it.
Okay. But... Oh, he collaborated with somebody, with B. Sulfur.
You can't, like, you can't do that alone. Like, you can try, and most other people have failed at it, but he knew that it is not a selfish pursuit.
So, no, yeah, I've never seen somebody more self-aggrandizing about an FAQ. I hope that this answers all of your questions. It looks like it doesn't. I think that Brian P. Sulfur... kept him under control.
Yeah, kept him reined in. He was just a contributor, really.
He did write the end here. Hard, frustrating, impossible. These are just some of the words attached to this cult classic on the NES.
Webster's Dictionary defines asinine as...
Hard to learn? Yes. Harder to get good at? Definitely. Near impossible to master? Usually. However, dedicated gamer, you're proficient enough at this game, and I challenge you to do the same.
So
he's an inspiration.
He is calling the entire system into question.
Yeah, he's a hero.
You dare to criticize Friday the 13th? Well, I assure you that if you were half the gamer you claim to be, you would write a 15-page fact about it like I did.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, man.
What a colossal fucking weirdo.
Wow.
Yeah. No positive reviews. I keep hoping to find some good reviews of some of these pieces of shit, but not happening.
It's almost like it's a conspiracy, Gary.
Games you also might like. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? Punch-Out.
Games you also might like, or games you will like better?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Games you may like. That's a safe bet.
I have to admit, this made me load up my Mike Tyson's Punch-Out ROM just to play it and remind myself of why this is good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's great.
Yeah.
Like, I downloaded that on my 3DS, like, just to have it, because they just released a emulatable, you know, virtual console version.
Ooh,
so I can play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Like, I love Punch-Out. It's in my top, like, 10 NES games. Like,
yeah,
it's super great. And the Wii version is great. Have you played the...
Oh,
the
God, Nintendo? Yeah. I've done that a lot. Like,
that's so fun.
Like, I love the New Game Plus on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is really good. Yeah.
So fun.
That was a thing we did. We're about out of time, Gary.
Okay. Well, great. Yeah, never...
Don't do that again.
Game. Yeah, never play this game. Travis, never play this game.
Yeah.
Go to hell. Thank you for suggesting it, but go fuck yourself.
Get a concussion from being punched by Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Not like fatal or anything, but just enough to inconvenience you.
Yeah, inconvenient concussion.
Yeah.
Al Gore is an inconvenient concussion. That was stupid. Don't laugh at that. So many worse work.
So much worse. Man. What are we doing next, Gary?
So next, let me
look here. No, we already know what we're doing next.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. We are doing the SNES version of Lord of the Rings.
Yes, The Escape from Hobbiton.
from Brett Murphy.
Yeah.
If you're looking, I was looking for this game. The title is J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. So all the alphabet lies under J.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is volume one of one.
So. It's 100% of the game.
Yes.
Until the next time, thank you for doing whatever you did, getting the app or doing the tribute or whatever you did to hear this. We appreciate it.
However you got here, we love you for it.
Yep. And good night. Good luck.